Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go, ladies and gentlemen, across the airwaves. We just finished the taping of the XM Sirius show, thanks to Fred Wallen and Artie Source. We're now in the Internal Bum podcast, hosted by yours truly, Mark Mancini, in Los Angeles. My sidekick in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Ralph Williams. We're joined by two others also, Avi Greenwall in Miami, Florida, and Joe Kuklis in Pittsburgh. So it's going to be great, the Fatal Four-Way, as we bring it here, talking a little NFL draft, bums, bust in the NFL. Last week, big response on the logos. We appreciate that. People came back and said, give us the best and worst stadiums. We'll get into that, too, down the line, but, boy, we are so blessed. Show's picking up steam. We weren't even on the air, pretty much, and people loaded up and waiting outside for the show to start. So, without further ado, 347-205-9631 gets you to the front of the score. Take your comments and questions. Anything after that, catch it on the archive, blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. Podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. So without further ado, as they lay the red carpet down, put the podium in place, hand off the mic, Ralph, we'll start it with you first before we pass this baton around. How are you, and how can people get a hold of you?
Yeah, Mark, I'm doing great. Thank you. It's a kind of gloomy day in Pittsburgh here, but we'll get through it. You can get a hold of me, Ralph Williams, 737@gmail.com, Facebook, Twitter. You can also get a hold of me on LinkedIn and on YouTube. I have my YouTube channel. You can watch all of my podcasts on there as well. And please subscribe. I'm up to 95. I need 5 more to make 100. So,
well, not only that, let's lay some more accolades for you. Beaver County Radio starting June 20th, smoking Jim Frazier and you tearing up the burg. And second of all, as we get this, I know our great sponsor comes through that's picking up the tab around here, too. Tell us about that sponsor.
Yeah, Hillcrest Farms in Richmond, Ohio. It's 45 minutes from from Steubenville, or it's 45 minutes from Pittsburgh. It's up the hill from Steubenville, Ohio. And you could go to Hillcrest Farm today, pick up some farm fresh beef, $95 for 20 pounds of ground beef. So head to Hillcrest Farm today. You can catch their you can get them online at hillcrestfarmsohio.com or on their Facebook page, Hillcrest Farm, and you can get directions there and phone number and everything else there. Go up there today. I'm telling you, they have some great specials. Great buys on some fresh ground beef, fresh steaks, roasts, all kinds of meat there at Hillcrest Farms. And also, it's only 45-minute drive from Pittsburgh. No excuse to head down or take the kids with you. Head on up to Hillcrest Farm up in Richmond, Ohio, not far from Steubenville. And that's our sponsor for today.
Oh, I love it. Joe, tell us about yourself. Give us some insight on it. Welcome to the show today, and, man, it's great to get Pittsburgh lit up here.
Yeah, you know, I heard Ralph say that it was a gloomy day. It's not a gloomy day. We got Broderick Jones last night in the first round. And,
yeah.
You know, so I'm happy about that. Steelers traded up and, you know, made a good deal that was both good for them and I think a double whammy against the Jets, where the Jets were looking to pick up Broderick Jones. And, you know, good old Bill Belichick stepped out of the mix and allowed us to slide in there and grab Broderick right in front of him. So a very shrewd move by the coach there. But, yes, my name is Joe Kuklis. I own an e-magazine called Draft 412. And if you can't tell by the name, it focuses on professional athletes and drafting in both the 412, which is the area code for Pittsburgh. So we focus on the Steelers, the Pirates, and the Penguins draft and prospect needs. And last night we had our launch party at the local amphitheater here right next to Acrisure Stadium where the Steelers and the Pitt Panthers play. And we had about 400 people out there, sold out event. Ralph was there. And we had a chance to, offer, kind of our analysis of each pick of round one from pick one through 31. We ended right around midnight and, had a great crowd there. Everybody was boisterous, and, Ralph, it was nice to see you out there in person, too. So it's a little bit about me, and you can check out Draft 412 at draft412.com.
Love it. And you got a red carpet anytime you want to get in on this show, Joe, too. Our other buddy, and love him dearly, and he's got a red carpet on the show too, Avi Greenwald. Avi, tell us a little about yourself and how you can be, you know, reached. Just so blessed to have you a part of this. I know you were on with Scott Morgan, Roth, and all those guys down in the great state of Florida as well.
Well, appreciate having me back on, Mark. I know it's been a while, but I'm always humbled and appreciate the opportunity. My name's Avi Greenwald. I'm here actually in Orlando, Florida right now. I do cover the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Miami Dolphins and the Orlando Magic. I also I'm a Miami Dolphins insider, so, you know, if you want to reach out to me, you can find me on Facebook at Avi Greenwald, or you can find me also on Twitter at Greenwald_Avi, and that's the best place to find me. If you need me as well, you can find me at GreenwaldAviL@gmail.com if you want to get a hold of me. Really excited.
Oh,
to be
man,
back.
It's going to be a great one. As we lit this torch up for the next 60 minutes, we'll be blowing down some cities. I'm going to lay a topic out. Everybody else will have a topic to roll with this on the show. So we'll take the topic, we'll break it down, and then we'll go on to the next gentleman to get in here and take his topic. We can run with it. I'm going to throw it out there, guys. I think the Philadelphia Eagles stole the draft. They took two Georgia guys, and that defense is looking like Georgia North. I don't know what you thought of it, man, but here's a team that lost a lot of players and stuff. They gave Jalen Hurts the big money. And he put himself a great management team with all women behind him. Sirianni lost his two coaches there, but they bring in Matt Patricia from New England to restore order. And the draft couldn't have went any better. I like Philadelphia's picks as much as I hate to say it, the state. But, Ralph, we'll start with you. The Eagles picking up two guys, you know, and they moved up a little. I think they jockeyed with the Bears there to get this.
Yeah, they did. Philly did a really good job of drafting these two defensive players. And as you mentioned, they did need help on the defense as well. Nick Sirianni's going to try to do what he can this year to try to keep up the streak of getting back to the Super Bowl. We're going to find out what happens here. And it's great to hear that Matt Patricia's with Nick Sirianni, because he was sort of the lost soul swimming in a fishbowl down in or up in New England there, because they didn't have a job for him. He was a coach with no position. So, you know, then he was offensive coordinator. I think he was the conditioning coach and whatever other coach they needed there he was doing, instead of his defensive mind, which is what his basic coaching thing is. He's a defensive kind of guy. It was nice to see Anthony Richardson get picked up in the fourth round. Our friend Harry the Greek down there in Tampa owes Peter Blake a steak dinner, because they bet that Anthony Richardson was going to be picked, or Peter said Anthony Richardson would be picked up somewhere in the first 10 picks in the first round, and he was at number 4. And Harry said he has no chance of getting picked in the first round, and they bet a steak dinner. So that's going to happen there. But I was also impressed with Houston, the way they drafted. They came up with number 2, number 3, got defense and offensive help at quarterback, got an edge rusher in Will Anderson. So, you know, Houston started off on the right track. DeMeco Ryan trying to fix the culture down there with the Texans, going through coaches and players. It's ridiculous, but that's where we go there. Avi?
Well, I'll tell you what. I agree with you 100%, Mark. The Philadelphia Eagles absolutely hit a home run in that draft. I really do believe that. Now, obviously, I think what their plan is to stop the run. And what do we know that goes on in the NFC East is they're going to be running the ball. We got two veterans over there already in Brandon Graham and Fletcher Cox. We also have Jordan Davis, who is a teammate of Jalen Carter, an old teammate of Jalen Carter. So I think he's going to be really, really excited to get out there and to get some leadership from Brandon Graham, Fletcher Cox. I'm sure they'll take them under their wings, and they're going to attack it. I really am interested to see how they're going to measure up against Saquon Barkley and the rest of the NFC East. Obviously, that Cowboys backfield is going to be, you know, they want to see if they can test it for sure. It's going to be really, really interesting to see what happens. I think the Eagles really hit a home run right there. Obviously, they also added the edge rusher Nolan Smith at the end of the draft. at the end of the first round. My apologies. I actually believe the Philadelphia Eagles, I think they have had the best first round, absolutely, by far. Obviously, I would agree the Houston Texans really, 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 really did something special by moving back in and getting that third pick with Will Anderson Jr. I think that guy's an animal. I don't know how C.J. Stroud is going to be so far until I actually see what it's like for him, but we'll see. You know, he's a good quarterback. He was great at Ohio State, but, you know, obviously he's going to have to grow a little bit in the NFL, so I'll be interested to see what happens from here.
Joe?
Yeah, from my perspective, I think that Philadelphia had the second-best night. I would rank Houston just above it based on what both Ralph and Avi have just said, and I'll get back to that in a minute. But, you know, doing a little deeper dive on Philadelphia, the reason I thought they had such a good draft Fletcher Cox and Brandon Graham are really good players, but they're old in the tooth. I think Howie Roseman, the GM there, knew that there was time to make some moves. He started it last year with, you know, the Georgia North team, as you mentioned earlier, by drafting Jordan Davis, which was a perfect spot. Unfortunately for Davis, he got injured and missed a good portion of the season. And Nakobe Dean, who was injured and was coming back from injury last year, another Georgia Bulldog that plugged in. And last night they got two more. I mean, Jalen Carter could have been and might have been, save for some of his actions in the offseason, the number one pick overall at Chicago. And to see him go at 9 and having him play next to Jordan Davis for the next 10 years moving forward, especially knowing that, you know, Philadelphia last year went out in their run and brought Ndamukong Suh basically back out of retirement, and, you know, Linval Joseph, both those guys were, you know, older than Fletcher Cox, and they tried to make it work there. And I agree with Avi. I mean, in the NFC East, you've got to be able to stop the run. You're going to be facing the likes of, at least last year, Ezekiel Elliott and now Pollard, and, of course, you know, Saquon Barkley. And, you know, we'll see what happens over in Washington. I mean, they still, you know, Antonio Gibson's, pretty good player. That said, I also think that second pick at the end of the round might have been the steal, outside of Christian Gonzalez, might have been the steal of the night. I think that Nolan Smith, that 4.37 off the edge speed, I know that the knock on him, people say he's small. He's 240 pounds. You know, I mean, it's not like, you know, like there are a lot of those edge guys. I know it's not ideal. You want him to be 260, 270. But P.J. Watt does pretty good, you know, at being small. I've seen Aaron Donald, even in the middle, as a smallish defensive tackle, do pretty well. I mean, speed kills in this league. And I think playing opposite of Haason Reddick, you've got two guys that are going to be really difficult to scheme against. And I think that'll make Philadelphia's defense that much tougher coming into this year. And you know, on the same topic, as I said before, I know Philly had a great draft. The only reason I would rank Houston just a smidge higher than them is because, you know, they got possibly the number one quarterback in this draft by staying put. And then they made a shocker of a deal, gave away a bunch of draft picks, some of which aren't even theirs. You know, they were just like leftovers from the Cleveland Browns trade, and got up and got the best defensive player in the draft in Will Anderson Jr. And, you know, D'Amico Ryans, I know he's an Alabama guy. I know he's a defensive guy. He was able to pull that off. And if you can go into any draft and draft second and third and score what they did, regardless of what we think of C.J. Stroud, at this point, I think all the report cards are out on these guys. I'm not a fan of Bryce Young. Anthony Richardson's got all the tools and needs a little bit of seasoning in the same way Jalen Hurts did, and he's got a coach that will allow him to sit and do that there. Stroud might be the most game ready. We'll see. I mean, these are all gambles at this point. I think Anderson is not much of a gamble. I think he has the highest floor in the draft. In that respect, and I think he'll only get better. The Stroud pick, I mean, going second and third and getting your top offensive player and your top defensive player on the board into your locker room while using someone else's picks to do it is genius. So I'll rank them one, and maybe I'll give Philadelphia 1A.
good points. And, you know, I want to get to some of these questions. And, the Stroud thing is going to be an interesting thing because, you know, I'm a big Richardson guy, and I think the Colts did really good with that pick too. But we got Bill coming out of Flint, Michigan, says, guys, I know everybody's getting giddy here, but the Lions, we stole Gibbs. I know we need to build up on the defense, but trading the 6th pick to the Cardinals and getting the 12 and 34, Jamar Gibbs, man, high character running back there, the second one picked behind the Falcons going at number 8. Any thought on that one? No, I totally agree with you, Bill, in Flint, Michigan. Ralph, I don't know what you think about the Lions. I was kind of shocked, too, because their upgrade needed to be on defense. But they figured, you know what, we'll supply our offense here. Get somebody, I'm not saying Barry Sanders type, but you got to get some running game going in Detroit.
Yeah, that running pick, Jamar Gibbs, that was a good pick. But at 18, they picked Jack Campbell. Jack Campbell from Iowa. You can ask Joe here. He'll tell you was one of the best linebackers picked in this draft. There were all kinds of mock drafts had him. Some mock drafts had him going to the Steelers. I thought the Steelers should have kind of looked at him. I didn't know if he was going to fall or if he was going to get drafted early. Detroit took Jack Campbell. He's a great linebacker. When he hits you, you don't come back up. So, I mean, you know, and that's where we are with that. That's a great defensive player there. And I think that Detroit looked at both angles. Dan Campbell's looking to fix the Detroit Lions, the culture there as well. And I think look out for the Lions this year. They might be in a wild card or something.
Yeah, good point. Avi?
Well, I'll tell you what. I want to talk a little bit about the Lions. I think they actually did a wonderful job grabbing Jahmyr Gibbs. That was an absolutely wonderful pick. Obviously, with the suspensions looming, especially on the offensive side of the ball, now they have, you know, that running back room with Gibbs, David Montgomery. You got DeAndre Swift. That's going to be phenomenal. I think if they can really lean on that run game a little bit, they can give Jared Goff the help that he needs on the offensive side of the ball. And, again, Jack Campbell, I think, is a really good pick. I know, Ralph, you were thinking that he might have been going to the Steelers because, you know, that Jack Campbell has Steelers written all over him. That's the type of linebacker that they would love to have, and they continuously do that throughout the drafts every year. They usually always find that good linebacker that just fits their scheme perfectly. But you know what? The Lions made the move, and they got Jack Campbell. So I think, yeah, I agree that the Lions are really going to be, they showed a lot of grit last year, so I can only imagine they're going to keep it going, you know, follow the lead like their coach. Phenomenal coach, good team coming back. It's good to see Detroit back in action.
Yeah, Joe, when we give it over to you, I look at the division. If Cousins gets out of the division, this is going to be, you know, looks like a big sky conference because anybody's game, the Bears, the Lions, the Vikings, and the Packers, and we'll find out, you know, if they move Cousins out of that division, what they'll get in return. And Love is going to have to show us what he can do in Green Bay. But you kind of look at this, is there a clear-cut favorite in this division? I see the Lions taking charge and maybe running with it. We saw what the Bears have drafted and everybody's high on Fields and stuff, but why didn't anybody pick guys like Notre Dame's tight end Michael Meyer and Luke Musgrave, Oregon State's tight end? These guys are great players too. They fell out of that round too. Are you surprised they didn't get picked up?
Well, yeah, I'll address those in opposite order since we're on the tight ends. I think it was a tactical move on the tight ends. I mean, this is a very deep tight end draft by many of the teams and many of the national, draft nick experts. I think that the play here was you can miss on a tight end in round one and still get a quality starting tight end in rounds 2, 3, and 4. And so I think the concept was we got to grab value where we can. And, you know, tight end is not a place of value in the first round unless it's someone like a Dalton Kincaid. And he was the one and only off the board, and it was a trade-up by Buffalo to get him. And he's somebody that has comparisons to Travis Kelce. I think that might be a little bit of a stretch. I said at my draft event last night that I think he's more closer to, like, Jason Witten as opposed to, Travis Kelce. But if you could take Jason Witten you know, that's a near Hall of Fame guy. I think I'm on your team. I think that would be great. But, you know, I think that the Mayors of the world and the Musgraves of the world and, you know, even some of the others down the line, like Darnell Washington, I think round two, round three are perfect fits for them. And I think teams recognize that and said, look, this is a really deep position. And it's a position that unless someone's going to be a superstar, you don't have to pick in the first round. And I think that's why they're still on the board. But I think this is the round you see them come off. Miami needs one. Green Bay needs one. And there's going to be a lot of other teams jockeying for some of these guys that were left there. Now there is value in that. I think they go back. Your first question, you know, your initial question about who wins NFC Norris division, as Chris Berman would call it, you know, I think it's a toss-up right now. I think Detroit is ascending. I think they showed that last year. They almost beat, you know, they beat the Packers and they almost snuck into the playoffs and missed it by half a game. And I think Minnesota is slipping. And I think we saw that, you know, with, the rumors in the offseason about them trading Dalvin Cook. They lost Adam Thielen, although he might have been a little, you know, past his prime. You know, and I think, you know, they have to rebuild their defense. And so whether Cousins goes or stays, I think he's a lot against the cap to move him this year. I think next year he will likely be gone. And that's why they might be searching in round two for a Hendon Hooker or a Will Levis. They might be one of those guys trying to trade up to get into one of those first couple of spots with the Steelers who sit first in round two to grab their quarterback of the future and have them, you know, take a redshirt season and play behind Cousins while he's there. And then when Cousins, they cut him next year, they don't have a dead cap space that they would have. That might, you know, they've got this, you know, somebody that's seasoned on the bench and can step in, and the next generation of the Minnesota Vikings is upon us. So I think that's, you know, where I think that, you know, Love is a, you know, he's a wild card. Justin Fields is a great fantasy football quarterback and not a real good football quarterback. So, you know, unless he continues to improve, and, you know, he's still a young guy, there's still room there to see that. We saw that in Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts went from very inefficient to Super Bowl caliber, you know, just scored, you know, $50 million a year. But I think this year, I think Chicago's on the bottom of that pile, followed by Green Bay at third. And I think Detroit finally makes it and wins that conference, or wins that division, with Minnesota, you know, competing, you know, beating each other up there all season, and maybe, you know, sneaking in as one of the second or third wild card teams, you know, that'll pop up, you know, for the NFC. And that's just my opinion. If I may spend 2 seconds talking about Jahmyr Gibbs,
yeah,
and yeah, Jack Campbell. I love Jahmyr Gibbs. I know that they lost Jamal Williams in the offseason to free agency. I know DeAndre Swift has all the talent in the world but is injury-prone, and unfortunately he just hasn't been able to put together a full season. But when the guy plays, he's really good. I think to justify taking Gibbs at 13 when they could have gotten him at 18, they had that 18th pick, I think they overdrafted him. But that said, that guy is stunning. Like when he touches the ball, you know, 4.35 speed, he could score on every play. And I think they're going to use him in a hybrid role. And, you know, because he could flare out and play receiver. You put him on a bubble screen or a jet sweep, any team's going to have problems with that guy. And I think that allows them to do some other things. Because to Avi's point earlier, they lost three receivers. One for six weeks and Jameson Williams to the gambling suspension, and two others that they cut outright because they're suspended indefinitely. So they've got, you know, they've got some issues that they got to deal with in day two, perhaps getting a wide receiver, you know, in rounds two or three here. And then Jack Campbell, Ralph's right. I love Jack Campbell. But, again, they overdrafted him. You know, and what I mean by that is Jack was likely going to be available in, you know, early to mid round two, and Detroit drafts there. Inside linebacker is a position that's devalued in the same way running back has been devalued. It's in the same way, unless you're a quarterback, a cornerback, an edge rusher, or a left tackle, you know, you have to be top in your position to get picked in that first round. And he was, you know, in a position of need for them, but they probably could have used 18 to get Gibbs and, you know, and maybe gotten a better guy, more valued position, I should say, at 13 after the trade down, and then still gotten a shot at Jack Campbell in early, you know, round two. So look, they got the guys they wanted. They're very happy with it. So if they're happy, I'm happy. And I think both of those guys could be stars in this league. So it's hard to say I didn't like it, but I just think that they might have overdrafted them a bit.
Good points. You know, Tyler from Boulder, Colorado, coming in, he says, guys, this show is great. I love it, man. Keeps getting better and better on the network. Keep up the good work. Well, first of all, Tyler, got to owe that to Ralph lining this whole thing up today, man. Just unbelievable. Thanks to Ralph getting everybody out there. But his comment is, Will Levis, 6'4", 229, how come this guy wasn't drafted? My Broncos could have used somebody to back up a Russell Wilson. This guy fell out of favor at Penn State, goes to Kentucky. This guy's a premier quarterback. I know he had a toe injury, but it's healed now. How come he fell out? And he might be the last remaining piece in this, is going into the second round. Any comment, Ralph, and we'll swing it around because I like this kid a lot, and I'm surprised he didn't get picked up. So I got to go along with that. Will Levis, a Kentucky quarterback, he dropped out of the first round. This guy was a projected second-round pick. I mean, pretty much in the first round, he a second pick, maybe a Houston or something, but his stock really went down. I don't know if it's the personality. I don't know if it was the injury to his toe, but this guy at 6'4", 229, he's a great pocket passer, man. I like this kid.
Well, I think it's because of his attitude. I'm told he has somewhat of a little bit of an attitude problem. That's one thing. And then also, too, despite the fact that he was projected to go in the first round, I'm looking at a publication here that says he's still rough around the edges in his game. And also, too, when it comes to processing speed and overall rhythm, he was too often late and testing tight windows, putting the ball in danger and, throwing too many interceptions, rushing his passes. That's the type of stuff that, that happens. And I heard he's got some behind-the-scenes problems, too, which, of course, that won't help you either. And also, too, Joe, I wanted to bring up about Jack Campbell. Jack Campbell, I'm looking at two publications here. Both of them have him in the third or fourth round. So you're probably right about Detroit over drafting him because I'm looking at these two publications here, and both of them have him in the third and fourth round. So, perhaps we could have probably picked him up, the Steelers, if Detroit didn't over. That's like when we overdrafted Terrell Edmonds. Terrell Edmonds was a third or fourth round pick. We ended up reaching for him in the first round, and I thought that was a terrible pick. So, as far as that goes, so there we are.
Avi, as we give it over to you, the question coming out of Boulder, Colorado is, Will Levis, I like him. Maybe it's the attitude like Ralph had brought it up. How come this guy fell out of favor? Because I thought he was a first round, at least a top five pick by somebody.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm very surprised that he wasn't picked. I'll tell you what, I was thinking earlier, what if maybe the Dolphins take a shot and bring him on board just because of that thought, because, down here in Miami, the durability behind Tua is a huge question mark. We picked up his fifth year option. Obviously, I believe it's because we feel like, we're dedicated to him. We need to see what he's got. And if he can continue, doing what he's doing, but stay on the field, which I don't know if he can. So I wouldn't be surprised. Maybe, the Dolphins weren't really looking that way, but you never know. If he drops to the Dolphins, it'd be interesting if, maybe they take a shot at taking him. I obviously was thinking Darnell Washington. I think he would fit really, really well into the Dolphins system. But, if Musgrave drops to the Dolphins, maybe the Dolphins take him. But I do believe the Steelers will probably end up with Joey Porter Jr. It just seems like a no-brainer, But we'll see what happens. I'm really interested in the second round. There's definitely some guys out there. I'll tell you one guy I'm really interested to see where he goes is Keely Ringo, the Georgia cornerback.
Yeah.
I believe that guy is really very talented. I would really like to see where he goes. It'd be very interesting. Very interesting.
Well, you bring up another one that I'm interested in seeing where he goes, the Alabama defensive back, Brian Branch. I like that kid a lot. But as we give it over to you, Joe, you've heard the comments coming out of Boulder, Colorado, Will Levis. You've seen it broken down on both sides. You see what Avi's looking for in the second round. You see I'm throwing Brian Branch out there. What's your take on all of these, my friend?
Well, I think, you know, just your first question about the quarterback, you know, Ralph is correct. I mean, I think that, look, I was at the combine, and he could throw a ball through a car wash and it not get wet. His arm is, like, ridiculously strong. He looks like Josh Allen. Like, you put him on the field, the guy, it's exactly what he looks like. He looks like he's going to come in and with a year or two's worth of seasoning could be, you know, a steal at the draft in a round two at this point. The problem is all the things you guys have already mentioned. He could not beat out Sean Clifford, who was a six-year senior, like double. He had the COVID in the redshirt year at Penn State, had to transfer to Kentucky, got to Kentucky, had a great 2021 season, you know, with a, you know, but, you know, again, if you're going to be a starting quarterback in the NFL and go and demand a top five, top 10 pick, you don't go 6-5. And now I will agree that the guy got injured, a bad toe injury, slowed him down last year. But he has the tools and the talent to be able to make it. But you could tell certain things about teams. And one of the things I'll mention is, because Avi mentioned about, you know, exercising the fifth-year option on Tua, you only get a fifth-year option on a first-round draft pick. And if someone valued this guy as someone that could be a franchise quarterback, they would have chosen him in the first round. They slipped by Tampa. They slipped by, you know, Minnesota. Both of those teams needed him. And, you know, so when you get to the second round, you only have 4 years. And at that point, you would want to have that fifth-year option on your quarterback. So you're not, you know, obviously you're not paying more for him a year earlier than you have to. That affects your cap, and it throws a bunch of things off, especially if you're going to give him a second contract. So, you know, I think teams, you know, almost, you know, universally decided, hey, this guy's got some work that needs to be done, and whether that's off the field or on the field. But, you know, we'll take a risk at him as a high day two pick, but we're not going to spend a first-round draft pick on him because he's got issues. And I know that there's been a lot of rumors to the effect that Indianapolis was going to take him. They were talking about trading up and moving around, doing some things, and then when they had the opportunity to, they chose Richardson. So I think that tells you what you need to know. And there are a group of teams in there. I mentioned Minnesota and Tampa just being two off my head, but there are a group of teams in there that might have been able to take a run at this guy. And all of them chose to pass on. But the second part of your question, you know, look, I mean, I love Joey Porter Jr. Who doesn't? If you're a Steelers fan, you're going to love him. But if I were the Steelers, I would look at Brian Branch. I know you mentioned that. Maybe ahead of him and Keely Ringo ahead of him. And for a couple of reasons. One is Branch plays three positions. You know, this guy can play slot corner. This guy can play safety, and this guy can also move up and walk up to the line and play sort of like a rover position, like he did at Bama. He was the star, you know, corner there, or the star linebacker, and that's the exact same position that Micah Fitzpatrick played, who is the Steelers All-Pro safety. So you can see that as some, you know, this, there's real, real value in a guy like that for the Steelers, and you know, and they like that multi-positional player. They tried to recreate that, you know, after Troy Polamalu and failed. I know Ralph mentioned Terrell Edmonds, and there's a little bit of an overdraft there. And, they tried doing that with Ryan Shazier before his injury. He was a hybrid linebacker that was fast enough to drop back and cover, you know, receivers and tight ends, you know, running a 4-3. I mean, it's just ridiculous to think of it in those terms. I think that, You get a Brian Branch. If you had those three on the board and the Steelers do, and you were asking me which one I would take Branch first, Keely Ringo second, and Joey Porter third. And there's nothing against Porter. The guy's got length. He's 6'3". He runs fast. He doesn't have hands though. He does a lot of drop balls. He's got tighter hips. He doesn't come out of his breaks well. He loses momentum when he does. But those are technique things. And, you know, unlike Christian Gonzalez or unlike Devon Witherspoon, he's going to need a year of seasoning before he's really good. I think he can get there. I mean, clearly he's got the pedigree and he's got the family behind him. And if he's going to go anywhere, the Steelers like big physical corners like Ike Taylor, Mel Blount, you know, those kind of guys, even Rod Woodson to some degree. You know, and I think that, you know, I could see them taking him. But if I were Omar Khan, if I were Andy Weidel, if I were Mike Tomlin, I would go Branch, Ringo, Porter in that order.
Good
Clements. Hey, let me get Tom out there from Stone Mountain, Georgia. He said he's a big Panther fan. He used to live in Charlotte, now lives in Georgia. He said, I don't understand the Panthers. And I heard somebody earlier talking about concerns about drafting him number one. He basically says guys that are 5'11 haven't done much. The history of a successful quarterback in this league under 6 feet doesn't do anything except maybe Russell Wilson. But my concern is the durability of, you know, Bryce Young. Can he put the weight on in this league to be substantial for the Panthers? And that's my concern. That's a great concern to have if you're a Panther fan. He brings up something out of Stone Mountain, Georgia. Ralph, as I give it over to you, I'm not a big fan of the number one pick by Carolina. Maybe Chicago saw something to get rid of and get a bolster of picks coming their way, but I've said it before, and we'll get into it. I'm not a fan of either one of these two quarterbacks who were chosen 1-2. Any thought to that?
Oh, yeah, you know what? You're correct, Mark. And let me say this. Carolina, you know, Frank Reich is their new coach. Jimmy Caldwell is their offensive assistant. Frank Reich has put together a really good staff amongst himself. Thing is, though, I agree with you on one front, that Bryce Young is a small quarterback. I watched some film on him, and it looks like he can get rid of the ball really quick, and he can get out of the pocket fast. But what happens if the offensive line for Carolina can't stop the defense from coming through and he gets sacked? He's going to wind up ending his career like Doug Flutie. So, you know, you have to take a look at this perspective here. I think Carolina kind of gambled on this a little bit. I think they probably could have took maybe Richardson or one of the other guys. You know, Bryce Young, like I said, is a little too short for this league. And, you know, let him – I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. But, I mean, you know, he can throw the ball on a run, and that's nice. He can get out of the pocket. He escapes it real good and throws a good ball. But you know what? When you're getting hit by a defensive player, that's a whole different ball game. And I hope Carolina has the offensive line to keep it together, because if not, it's going to be a long season for him.
Right. And as I give it over to Avi, let me throw a concern that I have with Stroud, that I've never been sold on Ohio State quarterbacks. You'd have to go back to Arch Leister. I don't think they're mentally prepared to play in the pros. And people can say, well, wait a minute, Mark, I got Justin Fields in Chicago, and he's going to be something. But, you know, here's the thing, and this is two things we can ponder with these two quarterbacks that were taking 1-2. Stroud, to me, you know, when he was at Ohio State, he was surrounded by top-tier play guys there. He had Garrett Wilson and he had Chris Olave. They were 1,000-yard receivers as rookies. He doesn't have that now in Houston, Avi, as I give it over to you. So this is where I basically got to piggyback on the Stone Mountain question, that durability with Bryce Young. And I'm throwing something out with Stroud here, that he doesn't have the talent he had at Ohio State.
Look, I agree with you 100%. These quarterbacks that have been coming out of the Alabama, the Ohio State, you know, maybe, you know, there's a couple good ones. Jalen Hurts looks like he may be okay. But, you know, over the years, I've never really thought much of the quarterbacks coming out of those schools. Again, obviously, because they've always been surrounded by such top-tier talent, receivers galore, running back, offensive line. They just, you know what I mean, with these championship teams, you know, the quarterback just looks so good, and they're so high on them coming into the draft. A lot of them don't pan out. You know what? And with this one in particular, I do believe Bryce Young, look, he has kind of like Tua, has all the intangibles that you would want. Smart guy. He's just small. Is the durability going to be an issue? It's a huge question. I think Carolina, I think they might have reached two. If I had to pick out of the three quarterbacks that were picked, I would might go with Anthony Richardson is what I think is most talented one.
Yep.
And ready to go. C.J. Stroud has got good size, but I've seen him at Ohio State, and he's made throws that were very questionable decisions that just don't make me feel like he is quite ready for the NFL. Now, Anthony Richardson also has a lot of great intangibles, but he has some accuracy issues and I'm worried about that. So to be honest, as they keep saying with this draft, it might be one of the deepest drafts we've seen in a long time. But, again, I don't think the quarterbacks might be the quarterbacks we're thinking they might be. They might have been picked early, but I'll tell you what, when's the last time we truly have seen a Heisman Trophy winner be successful? You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
Look,
you bring up some interesting points. And you're exactly right, Avi. And as I pass it over to Joe, Joe, I'll throw you a third thing to put in your pipe and smoke it on this. With the Bryce Youngs, with the Strouds, Anthony Richardson, to me, the Colts, they've been laser-focused on quarterback. I mean, this guy reminds me of Andrew Luck, and they went through the Brissettes. They went through the Rivers and the Wentzes and all these other guys. But if one thing that stands out with Richardson more so than any other quarterback in this draft, with the two that were taken ahead of him, is that new first-year coach who helped Jalen Hurts get to where he is today. That's why I'm sold on Richardson. And I know the accuracy's there, but I just think small market like Indianapolis, he's not the bright lights in the big city. This kid's going to be something. We've seen quarterbacks what the Colts have had over the years that have gone through that system, the Peyton Mannings. We can, go through the Andrew Lucks. I think Richardson will fit this. Three things to break down, my friend, as I give it over to you on the Roberto Clemente Bridge.
Yeah. So I'll take it from the top. I think that generically this class of quarterbacks isn't very good. I think next year's with Caleb Williams, Drake May, Quinn Ewers, the potential of Joe Milton coming out of Tennessee, even J.J. McCarthy from Michigan, all of those I would rank above everyone in this class. And I say that knowing that there's talent like Richardson that needs to be developed. I think that the problem that I have with Bryce Young is what everybody's already talked about. There are no successful 5'10 quarterbacks, and if they are, they're rare. Sure, Russell Wilson is 5'11". Russell Wilson is one of those playground scramblers, let Russ cook, Fran Tarkenton-type guys that comes along once in a generation, and I'm not sure if Bryce Young does. He doesn't have that speed. He plays in that offensive line he plays behind every single year with the receivers and the running backs he has every single year. All he has to do is, step up in the pocket, step out of the pocket. That's not going to happen in the NFL. The NFL, the guys are just much faster, and when they hit him, he's going to feel it. I mean, look at Tua. I hate to say it. I mean, Avi knows it by, he lives it. That guy's bigger than Bryce Young, and he gets injured 2-3 times a year because he's too small. And even if you push the envelope up to 6-foot Drew Brees, Drew Brees was a quarterback, a quarterback's quarterback. He was a gunslinger and had a quick release, second only to Dan Marino in my lifetime. And so he was able to escape some of that stuff, but when he got hit, he got injured, right, because of his size. And so that's why quarterbacks in the NFL are prototypically larger. They have to be able to sustain that kind of punishment. And I think Bryce will end up being a backup quarterback somewhere. I think this is a Baker Mayfield pick, and they just blew it. And I'm surprised because Reich is a former quarterback. And if you look at all of his other quarterbacks, going back, even in the last couple of years, they're all larger, prototypical, NFL quarterbacks. And he got away from that. And for whatever reason, they fell in love with the kid. And the kid's, he's bright. He understands the game. I get it all. He's just too small to play it, right? Like, I'm 6'3", 240 pounds. I want to be a fighter pilot. I'm not fitting in the cockpit. I'm too big. In this case, he's too small. Right. And so like the idea behind what they did, I don't understand. And I hope I'm wrong for their case because, Carolina, they traded a boatload to get him. I hope he's just not a bust. If you drop down one more pick to C.J. Stroud, my problem with that, and you guys have talked about it, is he's an Ohio State quarterback. And regardless of who the coach has been in Ohio State for the last 20 years, they have a schematic offense that allows his receivers to run open. And when you have receivers from Santonio Holmes all the way up to Jackson Smith and Jeeba this past season, they're going to be better than the other team's guys, unless they play them, like when they go and play an SEC team in most cases, or Michigan once a year. And we've seen, C.J. Stroud now lose two games to Michigan in a row, one at home by giving up 45 points. I mean, they just they shellacked him this year. And what happened? He got pressure in his face. You know, he's not going to have Tyler Johnson or Paris Johnson on one side, DeJuan Jones on the other, a third-round center in front of him with, you know, college athletes there. He's going to have guys in his face. He's going to be asked to make plays. And even though I think he might be the most pro-ready, I think we're going to see another case of an Ohio State quarterback that looks really good on Saturdays and doesn't play well on Sundays. You know, and I think getting to Richardson, your third point, 53% completion rate. He went 6-5. You know, those kind of things do not impress the pros. What did impress the pros was him throwing with no pressure in his face in a dome in underwear. And you know, and then on his throw day, he purposely throws the ball off the roof. Yeah, I saw that. I saw that before. I've seen that game. It was called Jamarcus Russell. You know, he threw a ball 60 yards from his knees, couldn't hit an open target for the Raiders, and was gone and out of the league in a couple of years. My fear with Richardson is that could be his floor. The guy has all sorts of talent. He looks like Cam Newton. He runs like Lamar Jackson. He calls himself Cam Jackson. It's a really cool nickname. But he's not either one of those guys. He needs to develop it. And you're right. Scott Steichen came in from Philadelphia and might be able to pull a Jalen Hurts. And I think that's the hope that Chris Ballard, their GM, is putting in him and hoping that they can develop him in the same way, because this guy's ceiling is through the roof. You know, and this, if you're going to take a lottery pick, this is the guy to take the lottery, you know, ticket on, because he's got it. But can he put it all together? And we'll wait and see, and you know, come back here in 2026, and we can all say we were right, or we can all say we were wrong. But we'll see. I think this is a really risky class, and that's why I think you see Hendon Hooker go in the second round, and Will Levis slide to the second round too. I just don't think there's much real talent there. I think the transcendent quarterback is coming in 2024 in a variety of fashions. And you know, like I said, I think any of those guys would go in front of all of these guys, unfortunately.
Well, man, I tell you, we got 14 minutes in this show, and I got to get this comment. Doug, coming out of Peoria, Illinois, basically says, man, oh, man, I could listen to you guys for hours. But I'm a Packer fan, and I don't understand why we didn't get an offensive tackle, at least to protect Jordan Love. We go after a defensive end out of Iowa and Van Ness. How many times are we getting defensive pass rushers here in Green Bay? Why aren't we getting somebody to protect our quarterback that's going to get the ball for the first time in his hands? He brings up an interesting point, Ralph. Why didn't the Packers get somebody to protect Love? What are they going after defensive guys? I know they had a guy last year, I believe, that tore his was it Rashawn Gary, I believe? He was coming off an ACL tear. But I know Preston Smith is there and everything, but why are they going after defensive guys? Wouldn't you get somebody to protect a quarterback now that Aaron Rodgers is gone?
Well, you know, Sub Mark, sometimes you see somebody sitting there, an athlete that you may not want, but he's a good enough athlete that you're going to pick him. And I think they saw Lucas Van Ness sitting there, and they said, you know what, he's a really good defensive player. Any defensive player, tight end, running back that comes out of Iowa is quality players. They are quality players that always are coached well by Kurt Ferentz. So what I'm saying is if I see a Lucas Van Ness sitting there, and even though I know I need a tackle, hey, I'm taking him. If he's a stud defensive lineman, and I believe that they made the right pick for their defense, and maybe they're looking at later on down the road looking at some tackles or something in some later rounds, which could happen. Maybe they don't need a stud tackle. But we'll see. I mean, you know, what Green Bay does with Jordan Love this year, he sat around for 5 years on the bench. And, holding the clipboard because Aaron Rodgers played a lot. And we'll see what he does this year. I'm interested to find out.
Yeah, as I give it over to you, Avi, Dalen coming in from Chelmsford, Massachusetts. He listens to the show a lot. He goes, I want to send a big thank you note to all you guys out there in Pittsburgh. Thanks for Christian Gonzalez. This guy, I don't know how you guys didn't want somebody like this, but we'll take him. We swat these guys in New England. We're going to be tough to beat on that defense. Avi, as I give it over to you, I know Joe will have a comment on that and maybe Ralph, but as we get this thing winded, man, what's your take on what we're talking about across the board here? And maybe you have somebody, or maybe you want to comment on this guy's comment coming out of New England that the Patriots trading down and getting Gonzalez.
Well, I'll definitely say, look, Bill Belichick is getting – he's doing what he knows what he's supposed to. You know what I mean? Like, it's time to get the Patriots back. Without Tom Brady, it's time to bolster up that defense and just win ball games. And I think Christian Gonzalez fits that scheme absolutely perfect. They definitely hit a home run with that pick. So I agree, for sure, for sure. But I'll tell you what, there's a couple picks. Also, I wanted to agree, Green Bay actually, I believe, hit a home run with that. That guy is an absolute specimen, Lucas Van Ness. That guy, I believe, is going to do real big things for Green Bay in the future. But what I really want to touch on is I like the pick by the Bills, sad enough to say, but they did get Dalton Kincaid. I think they are starting to maybe move on from Dawson Knox, and I think obviously he's still probably going to be able to contribute a bit, but I believe Dalton Kincaid is an absolute beast, and I think they made a right pick. Josh Allen needs that security blanket, and I think Dalton Kincaid is going to bring that in every sort of way. Also, obviously the big news, Lamar Jackson signed the contract with the Ravens, and the Ravens went out and got him another weapon in Zay Flowers. Zay Flowers is a very talented wide receiver, and I'm really looking forward to see him come out and play for the Ravens. We'll see what happens. You know, obviously, the Ravens' wide receiver cores have been known to be in the bottoms of the league statistically, you know, with Lamar Jackson, obviously, because it's a running ball team. But you know what? We'll see what happens. I want to see what Lamar does now that he's got paid. Is he going to do what, you know, a lot of times athletes do once they get paid? Do they sit back and relax and maybe try to not get hurt and just see what happens? But we'll see if the competitive nature kicks in for him. And we'll see if, obviously if the money makes talks and he'll prove himself again. But I really like the pick with Zay Flowers. The Ravens got there and get some more weapons because Lord knows they need it. And so like I said, again, Christian Gonzalez is a great pick for the Patriots. And Bill Belichick is getting back to his nitty-gritty, which is the defense. And I think the Patriots, they know, you know, he knows what can win ball games, and you get your defense winning ball games, and your offense will take care of the rest when they can score some points. So I really look forward to the second round and see what these teams also go to match these picks up. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Great lead, Avi, as we give it over to you, Joe. I know Dalen wants to give us a thank you note to the three of us from Pittsburgh with the Gonzalez pick. Maybe you have a comment on the Van Ness. Maybe you want to bring something else, but he's feeling really giddy, and you heard Avi's comments on the Gonzalez pick, the cornerback out of Oregon. Boy, the Patriots, could have scored somebody, but you know, the Steelers got the good one, too, so, and Broderick, you know, and I like him a lot, too. Any comment as I lay it down for you in the Strip District of Pittsburgh, my brother?
Yeah, so, first of all, congratulations to the New England Patriots. Christian Gonzalez should have gone sixth. Then he should have gone seventh. Then he slid. This is a guy who reminds me, like, Stephon Gilmore. And if you're a New England Patriots fan, congratulations. You got the next generation Stephon Gilmore. I, last night at our Draft 412 launch party, we literally – the room got giddy when the Steelers traded up to 14 because we knew it was either going to be Broderick Jones or we knew it was going to be Christian Gonzalez. They're two very stark positions of need for the Steelers, and the Steelers went offensive line, which makes sense. It wasn't the sexy pick Gonzalez would have been, but it was the right pick for protecting their rookie quarterback's blindside for the next 10 years, right? They're building what we're lovingly called Pickett's fence, around us, here. So, I mean, when you pick a big ugly, and I'm going to assume out of our two picks in the second round tonight, the Steelers are going to pick another big ugly on the defensive line with one of those two picks.
It's never sexy, but when you get it, you know you got something good, and Broderick Jones does that. But what I'll say about the Gonzalez move is it was sublimely clever. I kind of hinted at it that Bill Belichick did the Jets dirty on this one. I mean, he knew they wanted Jones. He knew they were going to try to protect their new investment in Aaron Rodgers, and he knew the Steelers needed to get up in front of them. So he slid down knowing that, all right, I'll take a little bit of a risk on Gonzalez, but because, you know, Washington could have taken him, and I'll get to that in a second. But, like, the Steelers jumping up to grab Jones, not only did he screw the Jets, but then he gets Gonzalez to fall in his lap at 17. That is what I meant by, like, you know, killing two birds, one stone. He gets to punch the Jets in the face and then celebrate by hugging Christian Gonzalez. So congrats to the Pats. I think they did a great job, and you guys are going to enjoy the next Stephon Gilmore for the next, you know, 10 years there. And then the hint that I gave, you asked me for a new one, was the Washington Commanders. If there was a few picks that you just walk away scratching your head on, and they went with Emmanuel Forbes ahead of Christian Gonzalez. And look, Emmanuel Forbes, he's a playmaker at corner. There's nothing wrong with the guy. Mississippi State, SEC competition. I think he had 6 interception returns for touchdowns, 14 interceptions over the course of his career. The kid was great. He's the Bryce Young of defense. He's 166 pounds. And those guys that are that small have a tendency to play. Their strength is speed. If they get him up to NFL size at 180, 190, I don't know if he has the speed to play that position. I don't know what they're going to do. That to me was one of the bigger risks I saw in round one. And I'm not going to say he's going to be a bust because, hey, but let me tell you, you get someone coming around the corner, I think Emmanuel Forbes might be making some business decisions, not making tackles and pulling a Deion Sanders, who I love, by the way, is my favorite player of all time. But Deion wasn't much of a tackler, and I don't think Forbes can be a tackler in that respect. They're going to have to put him in situations where he's just coverage, and they're going to have to try to bulk him up and get him, you know, pro weight and pro strength, and it's going to take a while. And why would you do that when you have Christian Gonzalez sitting in front of you? And I think Belichick either knew they were going there or lucked out. And figured that they might go in a different direction than they did. So congrats to the Boston fans.
Hey, real fast, in 30 seconds, everybody can take a comment on it. I'll take one more question. Joe coming in from Rialto, season ticket holder for the Los Angeles Chargers. He says, guys, I'm listening to everybody, but you guys are missing the boat. We picked up Quinnen Johnson, the wide receiver from TCU. We are loaded with Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, and now we get a guy that can stretch the field for Justin Herbert. We'll see all in the Super Bowl. I don't know who's coming out of the NFC. Well, Ralph, in 30 seconds, can you comment on that and let everybody know how you can get a hold of as we reconvene here next Saturday, 12 noon Pittsburgh time, 9 o'clock on the West Coast. But he thinks with the pickup they had, watch out, the Chargers are going to be awfully loaded. Might be the Dan Fouts days, huh?
Well, I don't think so. L.A. Chargers have a problem right now. They have a coach in Brandon Staley who made some boneheaded decisions last year that cost them a lot of games. If he does that again this year, I think he's going to get fired. So I don't know where this guy thinks that the Chargers are going to go somewhere. If Brandon Staley makes the same decisions he made last year, you might as well forget about it. You can reach me at RalphWilliams737@gmail.com, and you can also reach me on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and on YouTube. I have several shows on there, and please subscribe. And also, too, don't forget about our sponsor, Hillcrest Farm, Richmond, Ohio. If you need directions or any information, call 740-346-5442, 740-632-2894, HillcrestFarmsOhio@gmail.com, or their website, HillcrestFarmsOhio.com, and also on Facebook, Hillcrest Farm. Check out their ground beef special, $95, 20 pounds of ground beef.
Good job, Ralph, and so proud of you around the Beaver County Radio June 20th as
yes,
well.
Yes, indeed.
Avi, as we give it over to you in the next 30 seconds as we wrap this up, any comment on the Charger with this guy, Joe, and then how can you be reached? And we'd love to get you back in here.
I think Quinnen Johnson's a good pick. I mean, look, this guy was the second highest rated recruit from longtime coach Gary Patterson, signed, you know, during his 20 years at TC. This guy's a stud, absolutely. You know, with the durability issues with Mike Williams, I'm curious to see how he fits in. Absolutely. You know, obviously they got a quarterback over there that can sling it, and if this guy can spread the field, it'll be very interesting to see what happens. Obviously, they have some problems, I believe. Obviously, their coaching, you know, he's on the hot seat right now. And, you know, I'm curious to see what will happen going forward. Obviously, they got the quarterback. They got a really good receiver, you know. But there's been, you know, obviously there was the rumors that their running back wanted to get out of there. Excuse me, I forget his name. the running back from the Chargers.
Austin Eckler
was wanting to get out of there. So, you know what, I don't know how good that locker room is right now, but we'll see, you know. Only in time we will see. So, but anyways, you can reach me again. You know, my name is Avi L. Greenwald. You can reach me on Facebook at Avi Greenwald, or you can email me Greenwald@gmail.com, or you can reach me on Twitter as well. That's Greenwald_Avi. And that would be the best way to reach me. If you have any questions, I'd love to talk to you. So take care. Please
so blessed to have you on here. And if you can't get in here next week, we're going to get you in again. Joe, as I give it over to you, we're so blessed to have you. You can comment on this real quick and then let everybody know how they can get a hold of you. And if you can get in here next Saturday, 12 noon to 1 Pittsburgh time, we'll love to have you, my friend.
Yeah, I'd be more than happy to be on next Saturday, and thank you for the invitation. In terms of Quentin Johnston, he is my favorite receiver in this draft. I think San Diego got the best receiver in this draft for a couple of reasons. I mean, if you watched any of TCU's run to the playoffs last year, you know it's because of Quentin Johnston. The guy is a beast. He's 6'3", not DK Metcalf size. He's maybe 210, 215. He could put on a little weight. You know, he's got the best hands in the draft, needs to clean up his route running a little bit, but he's fast enough, he's big enough, he's going to make a dent. And with Keenan Allen getting a little long in the tooth and Mike Williams' injury problems in history, this will give a third option to Justin Herbert and really, I think, help, you know, to launch these guys in a situation where they can compete with the Kansas City Chiefs out there in the West. So if you want to get a hold of me, I'm joe@draft412.com. You can find me at www.draft412.com. And on Twitter, I can be found at, guess what, @JoeDraft412. So looking forward to catching you guys out there.
Well, I will tell you, I'm so blessed, man. This show went quick. For Ralph Williams and Joe out there in Pittsburgh, Avi Greenwald down there in Florida, yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles. Stay dry. We'll be back here next Saturday as we move it to Saturday, and then we'll get back on a Friday again the following week. Till then, catch the archive version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. Thanks for tuning in, guys, and we can't wait to talk again as we break more and more of the draft down. Also, the bums in sports, and maybe we'll have the schedule out by then. We can dissect the schedule, some key games. We all know that the Jets might be on 10 times and the Packers might be on once. Till then, have a great one and a great weekend. Till next week. Good night, everybody.
See you.